Chapter 30. The Hathaway. Gordon looked over to where Andrews had wedged himself between the flight chair and the console.
We almost done?
Think so,
said the pilot. He made a few final selections from the options on the console desktop.
Took about twice as long as it could have, all things considered. None of this stuff was designed for someone in a spacesuit.
But it's done and ready to go.
Yeah, Andrews said. All systems check out. She's only got 1.5 fuel cells left. We can't waste any of it moving her over to the landing pad. But the nav computer and I worked out a flight plan that'll get her off the moon, slingshot around Venus, and then more or less straight into the sun. Should take 108 days.
You sure?
Yeah.
Even with the slingshot?
Andrews tapped the console.
The nav computer's got the orbits of over 54,000 inner-system objects mapped out. Planets, moons, asteroids, space stations, space junk. We're good.
Gordon hefted the bat.
You weren't tempted to do anything stupid?
Andrews's fingers tapped some more.
Look, I think you're an idiot for not leaving now.
Thanks.
But you've made it clear that's not happening. Which means getting rid of that rock is the best chance of saving my own ass. It's not like I'm going to blow up the ship out of spite or something. What do you take me for?
Gordon squeezed the bat's grip.
You're a hell of a guy.
Fuck you. Is it so wrong that I just want to live?
What else do we need to do here?
Nothing, really. She could take off now, but we'll get better efficiency if we let the fuel cells heat up a bit. I wasn't going to pressurize anything if nobody's going with it.
He tapped a few controls, tapped a few more, and swiped the desktop. A handful of readouts scattered, and a blinking blue rectangle the size of Gordon's armored thumb replaced them. Above the rectangle, a one-word question blinked in time with it.
Engage?
Hit that, said Andrews, and you've got 10 minutes until takeoff.
Seems kind of long.
Figured it took us about 3 or 4 minutes to get in here, not counting the hatches. That long to get out gives you 6 minutes to get away before the thrusters kick on.
And then?
And then what?
Then she takes off.
And 4 months from now, she hits the sun. That's what you wanted, right?
Just checking. Cargo hold good?
Andrews reached over and stabbed at 3 buttons in a row.
Ready and open. Ramp is down. No idea what the situation's like inside. Can't imagine they left anything, though. Should be plenty of room.
Gordon nodded once inside his helmet.
We'll check before we head back.
He gestured at the doorway with the bat.
What?
You first.
Andrews rolled his eyes.
Seriously?
Call me old-fashioned. Someone says they're willing to stab everybody in the back. I don't want that guy behind me.
The pilot pushed himself away from the console. He wiggled past Gordon and slipped out into the hallway. Gordon checked the controls, confirmed the blue rectangle was still blinking, and followed him out. Andrews worked his way around the corner and headed for the open hatch.
Jesus fucking Christ, he said.
What?
Andrews stepped away from the door, clearing the way. Gordon stepped out onto the surface of the moon. He looked out at the darkness. Back toward the domes of Luna City. He tightened his grip on the baseball bat. Hundreds of shadows stood around the carrier, backlit by the city's lights.
Going the other way, into the dark, the pilot said. I didn't realize how many of them were around us.
There's a few thousand out here, said Gordon.
He flexed his fingers on the grip again and lifted the bat to his shoulder.
Last we checked.
Andrews hopped away, heading off along the carrier's side. Gordon followed him. A few long strides carried them down to the carrier's main body. The pod closest to the cockpit was passenger seating. A cargo pod had been slotted into the second section. It had opened up, doors folded away, ramps extended. A pair of zombies stood stiff at the far end of the opening. 2 women, each in an elaborate funeral dress. One had died young, the other quite old. Both had frozen eyes and tight skin. Gordon watched them for a moment, then turned his floodlights into the carrier. The hold was designed for forklifts to drive in and arrange fully loaded pallets. Not that any such things waited here now. Discorp had offloaded whatever cargo and supplies had once been here. His lights hit patterns of holes, lines, and squares, where equipment had been removed from the walls and floor.
"Damn it," said Andrews. "Would have been really nice if they'd left a forklift."
"Wonder if they pulled all the cushions off the seats," said Gordon.
"Probably."
They stepped in and checked all the corners, panning circles of light into every corner. Completely empty. Gordon reached over and tapped the wall with the baseball bat. The vibration echoed up through his arm.
"How strong are these walls?"
"Why do you ask?"
"If we have to put the vault in loose, is it going to tear through the walls during blast-off, or your slingshot, or any of that?"
Andrews's suit turned side to side, playing his floodlights across the inside of the cargo hold.
"Maybe, but I doubt it. The walls are pretty damn solid as is, and they've got the reinforced frame all around them. If you can spare a strap or two, we could fasten it to the wall, just to be safe."
"Maybe, yeah, don't want to do any of this half-assed."
Andrews took a few steps back, turned to Gordon as he stepped back outside.
"Still going to be a pain in the ass dragging that thing out here. Do you have your own forklift or something we could tow it? Oh, holy fuck!"
He threw himself across the open door of the hold, stumbling and rolling, until he crashed into the far side, rebounded, and hit the ground near Gordon's feet. He slid to a halt, thrashed until he rolled over, and scampered awkwardly away.
"She touched me!"
he shouted, thrusting a finger at one of the dead women. Gordon looked up. The younger woman rocked back and forth on broken heels. He walked over and gave the dead woman a shove. She tipped back, knocking up a cloud of dust when she hit the ground.
"Jesus, you're pathetic."
Andrews scowled, bit off the first syllables of two or three words. He pushed himself to his feet and made a show of brushing himself off.
"Yeah, really pathetic. I know enough to be scared of the walking dead, stupid fucking me."
Gordon ignored him and opened a comm channel.
"Roshan, carrier's low on fuel, but prepped and ready. We're done here. Heading back in to do this the hard way."
A few seconds ticked by before the reply came.
"Copy that. We're having a little trouble getting the vault on the dolly, but we should have it by the time you're here."
"Understood."
He closed the channel and turned his attention back to Andrews.
"Come on, let's get back. Help them move that thing."
"Do you want me to close it up?"
"Do I want you to go back inside the carrier alone? No, I do not.
I'm just asking if..."
"We'll be back here in less than an hour. It'll be fine."
He stretched out the bat, pointed it at Luna City.
"Let's go."
Andrews sighed. He marched away from the carrier, dragging his feet in the regolith. He passed a dead man in a dark suit and shoved the corpse over. Gordon followed. He looked at the fallen zombie as he passed. It stared back up at him with frozen eyes.